as healer. We've seen him as rabbi, as he calls disciples to follow him. We've seen him exercise power over devils. In the last several weeks, we skipped ahead and we've seen his death, his burial, and his resurrection through the Easter season. Now we're back in chapter number 4 and we find more on the life of Christ. We're going to get into verse number 1 next time. But today I want us to skip ahead to verse number 35. So if you would read with me from verse 35 down through verse number 41. And the same day, when he was come, he saith unto them, "Let us pass over unto the other side." When they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Let's bow and pray. Lord, we are glad to know what manner of man you truly were. You were the God-man. And certainly the wind and the sea do obey you. But just as your disciples did in the boat here in this instance, we often do in our own lives, we lack faith. Lord, we believe and say at times we believe, but help our unbelief. But our lives are full of fearful times. So, Lord, we thank you for passages such as this that cheer us up, that give us courage, that give us confidence. And so we pray your blessing upon this time as we look to it. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus called his disciples to be his followers. They were students to him as rabbi. And throughout this point in his ministry, he's been teaching his disciples the word, and now he would give them a test to see what they had really learned. It's not enough to merely learn a lesson or repeat teaching. We must also be able to practice that lesson by faith. Don't miss that in your Christian life. There's a lot of things in the Christian life that we practice by fact. We have the whole of God's word in our hand, and what a wonderful tool that is. But there are still times where we have to practice these lessons by faith. Ours is a religion of faith and practice. We're to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And this is one reason that God permits things to come into our lives. James tells us in James chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, various trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Now, theologically, we know what perfection is. We are being sanctified, meaning we are not perfect, but we are being perfected. But we long for glorification. We want to be made like Christ. Well, here, James tells us these various trials that come into your lives, these things that test your faith up against your knowledge, which cause you to put your faith into practice. These are the things that are going to make you glorified. Well, the storm here in Mark chapter number 4 becomes a part of this day's learning through Jesus the rabbi to these disciples, his students. This storm, in this instance in this storm, would help the disciples understand that Jesus can be trusted in the storms of life. Many have the idea that storms only come when they've disobeyed God. But we know this is not the only case. Jonah, we would conclude, yes, Jonah ended up in a storm because of his disobedience. God said, "Jonah, go to Nineveh." He said, "I'm not going to Nineveh. I'm going on vacation." And on his way to vacation, God put him in a storm. But here we find the disciples. Were they obeying or disobeying? Jesus said, let's get some boats and go right over here. And they did that very thing. They were completely obeying Jesus, yet they still ended up in the storm. So I want to consider with you from these verses this morning, does Jesus care? And I want to give this to you through two headings, and I'll end with 3 points of application. The first heading being the disciples' very human question. And then the second heading being just a different take on that, Jesus's not so human question. So begin with me in verse 38 and see this very human question. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now, if you study the layout of the Sea of Galilee, these sudden violent storms were not unusual given the geographic location. The Sea of Galilee was surrounded by high points at most parts, mountains, bluffs. In fact, the Sea of Galilee, at least at that time, I didn't look up to see if it is now, was the closest to sea level freshwater body of fresh water on the planet. There we go. I'm going to get this out eventually. I've not had drugs since Friday, so this is good. That was just my brain being slow there. But given the way that it is laid out here, it's common for these storms to blow up and to come in quickly on you, even though you were trying to plan to avoid such storms. Well, in the midst of this, see what the disciples say to him. Master, carest thou not that we perish? They're asking what we might ask in our own lives at times. Does Jesus care? It has been pretty smooth sailing so far for these new followers of his. Yes, they left all to follow him, but Jesus is very popular. So they've attached themselves to a popular guy. Jesus is very powerful. They've attached themselves to one who had power over the devils, who had power over disease, and who even seems to have an answer for the smart-aleck religious authorities of their day who were always trapping everybody up and making them feel bad about who they were. And these guys are Jesus' main guys. So I'd say pretty good deal they've gotten so far. In fact, I would guess prior to this little boat ride, these guys' faith, the disciples, Peter, James, John, these guys' faith would have been at an all-time high. I mean, can you imagine you walk up on these guys and they're loading the boat, and you know that you'd seen some of these guys were fishermen. You've seen them loading boats before. And you say, oh, it didn't work out, huh? You're back to it. You gave up on that Jesus guy. Can you imagine what they would have said? They would have excitedly told you how good God is, how amazing Jesus is, how powerful Jesus is. I think about Simon Peter. We just studied a few weeks back as Jesus went back to Simon Peter's mother-in-law's house and she's there sick and Jesus healed her. I'm sure it being Mother's Day, Peter would have thrown out a mother-in-law joke right in there. Said he even healed my mother-in-law. You know what? These guys would have been at the peak of their faith in Christ and his ability. But now they're in a boat and they're in a storm. In verse 37, we find that things begin to get very bad. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. So there's a great storm of wind, and the boat is beginning to fill up with water. Jesus is taking care of things up to this point for them. But where is Jesus? And in their perspective in this moment, as the wind and the waves beat in on their little boat, Jesus is nowhere to be found. In fact, when they did find him, verse 38 tells us that he was in the back of the boat taking a nap. This is why Baptist preachers like to take naps. It's a very Jesus-like thing. The disciples, they may have thought to themselves, he told us we were going to be the fisher of men. We didn't think it was going to be fishing ourselves out of this drink tonight. We thought maybe he meant something else by this. And they awake Jesus, and with a very human and a very proper question, they say, Do you not care that we perish? How can you sleep through this? Does Jesus care? Sometimes situations in life leave us without hope. Sometimes storms come into our lives. Sometimes the wind seems to not ever stop beating upon our little vessel. There are even times when it seems the waves are going to pour right over and sink us as the boat begins to fill up. The times in life when disease comes and the children get sick or death visits. When the money is short. When the job is gone. And the loved one is lost. These times where we seek for Jesus, but he seems to be asleep. We too cry out, "Don't you care that I am sinking?" Now, I want to be careful here to not be commending a time of little faith, but I do want to be realistic. If you need to, you know, pop open your shirt and show us your super C on your chest here this morning, that you're a Christian who never has these kinds of times of doubt, so that's great. You come up and you should give us a better sermon. But for the rest of us, there are certainly times in our lives that cause us to look around and think, does Jesus really care? Where is the Lord in the midst of this? In those storms, all we know to do is cry out, "Master, do you not care that we perish?" This is a very human response by the disciples, given the situation that they are in. And I would say this is a proper response within the storm. But we find in stark contrast to that question what Jesus says. And so we move from the disciples' very human question to Jesus' not so human question in verse number 40. He said unto them, "Why are you so fearful?" Now, this isn't really a part of my sermon, but, you know, that's one of those questions that doesn't really need to be asked, right? Like the time when I got home from work and Shanae had been sick and little Jack and Henry were in the house. They're not little anymore. They're big. And I don't remember exactly what had happened, but it was something like Jack had decided to change Henry's diaper and the whole bedroom was covered in baby powders. You know, you've all had, I'm sure all of you parents have pictures that are kind of like this. What does the super dad in me come up with to say in this moment to a 3 or 4 year old trying to change his brother's diaper because his mom's sick? "What are you thinking?" "Well, he's three. He's not thinking." Or, "Why did you do this?" You know, just some of the dumbest questions. And so we look at Jesus' question here. It comes across as really not a necessary question. Why are you so fearful? What do you mean, why are we so fearful? Look. Look at the wind. Look at the waves. It's filling up the boat. What do you mean? Why are we so fearful? But then he gives that real jab. How is it that you have no faith? Now, is that true? Would we say in this moment that these men have no faith? They've left all to follow him. They left their careers. They left their families. They left their lives. They have no faith. But Jesus here, we know, says truthful things. And though this is a hard thing, it's an important thing for us to wrap our heads around. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now, what is Jesus indirectly saying there? Yes, I care. You know that I care. He brought them to this to bring them through this. And his question is after everything else you've already seen of me, why would you think this would be a problem? His idea here is that they should be trusting him. Did Jesus' actions in this moment present to them that he's worried? Did Jesus' actions in this moment cause them to think that they should be scared because he is scared? Not at all. He's sleeping. It's sort of hard to sleep when you're worried. From Jesus' point of view, none of them should be worried. They had his promise that they were going to the other side. Go back to verse 35. And the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Now I'm going to take a little liberty with doctrine here. Not to say that these guys had the fullness of it that we do now, but we do now. And when God says it, what does that mean? It's going to happen. Whatever God says will be. And in this instance, he says, not let's go out into the middle of the lake and be shipwrecked. Not let's get out in the middle of this storm and see what might happen. No, he said, let's go over to the other side. And though the storm rages on the way there, there's this assurance that they are going to get to the destination because he has promised that is what's going to happen. He is Lord. He is master. He is sovereign over these things. God's commandments are always his enablements. You say, I just don't know how I'm going to make it through this storm. Get in his word. His commandments are always his enablements. Nothing can hinder the working out of our sovereign God's plans. He doesn't promise an easy trip, but he does promise them a guaranteed arrival at the destination. Yes, in verse 35, he left out the little part about the storm, the pending shipwreck, the waves beginning to fill up the boat. But he said, we're going to go to the other side. Church, we have that same promise. In the worst case scenario, we will arrive at the other side. Let's say to you further, the Lord was with them. So what was there to fear? He wasn't absent. He was just sleeping. But he was right there. What was there to fear? They had seen his power demonstrated in his miracles. They should have had complete confidence that he could handle this situation. Church, he is with us. What do we have to fear? Haven't we seen his power? I don't know about you, but I've seen his transforming power in my life every single day as he's made me new. Why do I think now that this storm that's before me is going to be more than he can handle? If he can handle you, he can handle anything. I think it's okay to sometimes cry out, Master, carest thou not that we perish? But in reality, we should know that he is with us through it all and that he has promised to get us to the other side. The disciples could see here in this story that Jesus was perfectly at peace as he sleeps, even in the midst of this storm. This fact alone should have encouraged them. This fact alone should have brought peace to them. Jesus was in God's will, and he knew that the Father would care for him. So what did he do? He took a nap. My preacher used to say, so I'm going to go home tonight. Well, let me say everything he would say. The flags in heaven are not at half mast. God is still on the throne. He is not having a Malox moment. Everybody doesn't get that reference anymore. So I'm going to go home tonight, have me two scoops of Breyers ice cream, watch a little Andy Griffith and go to bed. You say, yeah, but I've got too big of problems for that. I would ask you, is Jesus at rest? Surely you can be too. As Christians, we are followers of Christ. We are to live like him. And in this storm, we see him at peace. This should allow us to be at peace as well. Verse 39, Jesus arose, rebuked the storm, and immediately there was a great calm. And he arose and he rebuked the wind, and he said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Let me just sidetrack real quick. Some of you mothers and fathers, you need scripture to get you through Sunday morning preaching. I get it. Little Johnny won't be still in church. There's your verse right there. Just look at him and say, peace. Be still. In the words of Christ, I command these demons to come out of him and him to sit still during church. I promise you it gets better. Henry can almost make it through a whole service now. That's good, Henry. Now, Jesus rebuked this storm. And immediately, instantaneously, right then, I mean, you've seen storms, they don't just stop. Storms on the sea, I mean, it takes just a minute at least when that thing blows over, but bam, there was great calm. It doesn't even say just calm. There was great calm. It was probably a supernatural calm, a uniqueness about this calm. But Jesus doesn't stop there with the calming of the storm. In verse 40, he said, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Now, let's just play out human nature a bit here. Human nature says, I trust the Lord to never let me get in such situations that I have to trust the Lord. That's what we prefer. I don't want any storms, Lord. In fact, I'd rather just stay on the shore. I don't even want to get out on a boat and go out on the sea. But that's not how the Christian life works. Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed? We just sang it. With a temptation off so strong. Oh yes, he cares. He was in all points tempted like as you are, yet without sin. He didn't stop with the calming of the storm. Because the greatest danger was not the wind and the waves. Do you see that in this passage? He doesn't say to them, oh, good grief. Get down away from the edge of that boat before you fall in. That wasn't the greatest danger. No, the greatest danger, not the wind and the waves, was the unbelief in the heart of his followers. We cry out when we're in the storms of life, but our greatest problems are not those things that are outside of us. They're those things that are within us. They had heard him teach the word. They had even seen him perform miracles. And yet they still had no faith. It was their unbelief that led to this fear. And their fear made them question whether Jesus really cared. Do you see how one lie led to another lie, which led to another lie, which led to them questioning the number one thing? If they'd have believed in the truth from the get-go, they'd have never believed the first lie, which was something bad's about to happen to us. If they hadn't believed that lie, you see, we see these lies through fear. Fear lies to us. They were afraid that something was bad was going to happen. Then they were afraid that Jesus didn't care. You know, and it just built upon itself. I think sometimes we come into church on Sunday mornings and we think to ourselves, my, how did my week get this far off the rails just from last Sunday? I was doing pretty good, but I left here last Sunday. I was going to read my Bible more. I was going to be a prayer warrior. I was going to be an evangelistic witness. I was going to avoid temptation. And boy, you just come dragging yourself in on Sunday morning thinking, huh, I'm good just to make it in these doors. Am I the only one? How does it get that off the rails? Well, Sunday afternoon, one little bit of fear tells you one little lie, and it just builds, and it builds, and it builds. And before long, where do you find yourself? Acting out in a humanistic way because you have no faith. You say, well, hang on now. I have faith. I'm a believer. I get it. But so were these guys. But Jesus' very accusation to them was, how is it that you have no faith? Their unbelief caused their fear. Their fear caused them to question whether Jesus really cared. Church, we trust Christ with eternity, but we fear for tomorrow. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained? Too deeply for myrrh or song? As the burdens press and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long. Does Jesus care when my way is dark? With a nameless dread and fear. As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief there is no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks. Is it all to him, does he see? Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. In the trials of life, we are prone to cry out, does Jesus care? And of course He cares. And we know this. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. He cares. Let me give you three things to take away from this passage as you go through your week. Number one, how do I know that Jesus cares? Because He's right there with you in the storm. Yes, He was asleep in the boat, but He was in the boat. Number two, He cares because He has promised to bring you safely to the other side. In this instance, in verse number 35, He said, let's get in the boat and go to the other side. In your life, He said to you, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And we know that for the believer then, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So how bad is death? So number one, we know He cares because He's right there with us in our storm. Number two, we know He cares because He has promised to bring us safely to the other side. And then number three, we know He cares because He's at peace though life's storms rage. He was asleep in the boat, though it seemed from human standards this boat was going under. There are times in your life when it seems like your boat's going under. It seems like your family's going under. It seems like your church family's going under. Your country's going under. Your job's going under. Your health is going under. All the things that seem to matter the most to us in the temporal might just be going under. But God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, Jesus said, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. I have gone to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. To the Thessalonians, Paul said, we will not all sleep, but we will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet, the Lord Himself will descend with a shout. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up in the air to meet the Lord. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And in a moment of death, what does Paul say to the Thessalonians? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. He is right there with you in your storm. He has promised to bring you safely to the other side. He is at peace, though life's storms rage. Well, I've got a hard meeting tomorrow. I don't know what that's going to do for my meeting, preacher. What do you mean by this? Well, He'll be right there with you through that hard meeting. He's going to bring you safely to the other side of that hard meeting. And though you're going to be stressing all night long and all through that meeting, God's not going to be up in heaven wringing His hands. He cares. And your peace can be His peace, or His peace can be your peace. At the moment of your most human questioning, know that a not so human question is actually your answer. Let's stand and pray.